Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy. It's September 7, 2009, and this is episode 207. I'm a proponent of ensuring that we charge for our work, but there are times when your confidence is not quite there, and you're not comfortable taking money from your client. Today, I'm going to offer some advice on what to do in this situation. Before we go on, I'd like to say a big thank you to our sponsors, WebSpy, the Internet Monitoring, Analysis and Reporting Specialists. Thanks to all of you listeners as well that tweeted your support to WebSpy over Twitter over this last week. For those of you that use Twitter, please continue to tweet the message, thanks to @WebSpy for sponsoring the @MartinBailey Photography Podcast. To find out more about WebSpy and their products, go to webspy.com/MBP and use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on anything you buy. I recently had an email exchange with David Sumner in Melbourne, Australia, in which we discussed the apprehension that photographers starting out sometimes feel when handing over photographs to their clients. David said, "I feel this fear that nobody will like the images, and I'm almost afraid to charge just in case." I offered some advice that I thought I'd like to share with you today, and would like to thank David for the thought-provoking communication and allowing me to use this as the basis for today's podcast. The first thing that I'd like to say is that it's natural to feel nervous about the client's reaction to the images that you shoot. I recently read a blog from Joe McNally, no less, in which Joe talks about this apprehension while waiting for the word back from his assignment clients. And Joe is one of the best photographers in the world. It's a great article, so I'll put a link in the show notes to that in case you didn't see it. The point is, though, people worry about this regardless of what rung on the professional ladder you're perched on. The fact that, I think the fear or rejection is one of the things that drives us on. But it can be so great that it prevents a budding photographer from taking on assignments at all. And it can just be paralyzing. And that's not a good thing either. Assuming that you have a good grasp of the techniques and the skills that you require, you have a vision to create good photographs, and you have a desire to make money at photography, here's a few things that for you to think about as you prepare to charge for your work. Firstly, do not feel guilty for charging for or even just wanting to charge for your work. If someone likes your work enough to have approached you to shoot for them, it means that you're doing most things right already. If the client, if they want the photographs and you decide not to do it, because you feel, bad about charging, basically, then the money will just go to another photographer and you'll not grow as a photographer yourself. You have to get over this apprehension, and I'm going to offer some advice, like I say, and methods to sort of help you do so. So how you proceed is basically up to you. Personally, when I decided to start doing paid assignment work, I was confident in my ability to either nail the shoot with my current skills or being able to quickly learn any additional skills that were necessary to confidently take on the work. I've not yet outstretched myself, but if I got close to doing that, I'd probably employ one of the strategies we'll talk about shortly. Basically, though, when you can interact with a possible client with confidence, it becomes so much easier to talk about money. This is always helped, of course, by being able to show a portfolio of images that will help to convince your client that you're up to the task. I've done some work without a really relevant portfolio, though. I got the jobs based on work that I'd already got out there and a bit of a leap of faith on the client's part. For me personally, I'm perhaps even a little overconfident sometimes, and some people just aren't prepared to put themselves in that position without a little bit of extra to help them on their way. One thing you can do, of course, is to try to emulate the shoot that you're being asked to do, if possible, even before you say yes to the client. For example, if you're asked to do a family portrait shoot, ask your brother or sister or friends' families if you can practice on them. For family shots, of course, you'd likely not be charging, but you'd gain invaluable experience shooting family portraits. If you're required to shoot the family indoors using, say, strobes and umbrellas or softboxes, then you have to make a decision as to whether or not you're prepared to invest in this equipment beforehand, if you don't already have it, that is. If you can, you know, pick up what you need and practice the hell out of it. Use internet resources like Strobist website and again, practice with your own family or friends and build enough confidence to be able to go back to the potential client and say, yes, I'd love to do this project with you and negotiate a price. The amount that you charge will, of course, depend on where you live and the saturation of the market in your area, with other photographers, that is. It will also depend on your own skills, of course. So because we're really talking about you getting started here, you don't really want to falsely inflate your prices. Quote what you know other pros in the area are charging, if you think you're up to that. But if not, you know, basically take a listen to the rest of the podcast before going on. If having practiced the sort of photography that you're being asked to do, you still don't feel that you're confident on coming up with the goods, or, you've got this apprehension about handing over the images, I suggest, if you don't think that you can come up with the goods, I just suggest that you turn the assignment down. You might simply need more time to develop your skills. If you feel that you're getting the images and you have been able to sort of get some feedback on the work that you're creating from a friend that you can trust to tell you that the photos stink if they did, then you're probably back to the point that David has been mentioning, that I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, which is that you're now just simply afraid to charge for fear that the client won't like the images that you shoot. The chances are, in reality, that the client will love the images, and, just based on that, though, if you still aren't prepared to negotiate a price, what I always maintain is basically that honesty is the best practice. Try talking to the client. They can either trust you and go with your proposal or decide to ask another photographer. If the latter, just take this as a sign that you do need time to develop your skills and turn it into confidence, work this into a motivational thing. Don't let the rejection hurt you. After all, we're all just being, if you just be honest, then, you'll have earned the client's trust. And that may come back to you in a positive form at a later date anyway. If the client is open to your ideas, explain that although you're confident in your photography skills, you don't feel that you have enough experience in the type of work that they're requesting you to do to take it as a paid assignment. You could either offer to do the work at a reduced rate, say 50% or even 25%, just to cover your costs. And I'm a strong believer in getting something for your time, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in a direct monetary payment. If part of your problem is that you simply do not have a portfolio of images in the line that the client's looking for, offer to do the work in exchange for access to subjects that you might otherwise not be able to photograph. As payment, not directly monetary payment, you could ask the client to arrange to get model releases or property releases signed, allowing you to use the images that you shoot in your own future marketing, or even sell the work for commercial use if they turn out as good as you hope. And this would put you in a position to possibly make something for the shoot after all. Note that I only support working for free if it's you that initiates it. If someone comes to you from the start saying that they want you to shoot for them but they can't pay you, think long and hard before accepting it. The chances are that this sort of client will never have any money to pay you, and you'll just become their photographer lackey. You could even get a reputation as the guy that works for nothing, and then other clients would start to call on you to work for nothing, which is obviously something you don't want to happen. Ideally, you walk away from this kind of offer, unless the work will greatly enhance your portfolio and the client is willing to help get model releases, etc., as we've just mentioned. In that case, you know, you make the call, but do, you know, take into consideration the other things that we're talking about here to stop yourself from becoming that photo lackey. The only reason that you are going to do the job for free or for a greatly reduced fee is because you want to build your confidence and your portfolio. You should draw up an assignment contract as you would. This is not just if it's, you know, you're making a decision to work for someone that came to you asking to shoot for free, but in any of these cases, you should draw up an assignment contract as you would have done if you were going to charge. This shows the client that you're serious, professional, and prepared. You should even include the fees that you would charge if you were going to, but then write in the agreement that, you know, you're doing this with a 100% discount and state why you're going to do so. You should include a statement that you know, just to cover the fact that the client will sign a model release or have the model sign model releases or property releases that will allow you to use the resulting images in your marketing and even sell them commercially. Draw up a model release that is in a separate document and get them to sign that, as well as the agreement, before the shoot, if possible. Remember that every shoot you do to build your own business is taking money out of the pocket of other photographers. To avoid this becoming a habit or like a crutch to lean on to stop you from having to overcome your lack of confidence, decide on the number of free shoots that you do before you take this route. You could give yourself, say, 3 shoots to build the confidence that you require and to build a small portfolio to base your future marketing and negotiations on. Promise yourself that you'll start the charge from the 4th shoot and stick to it. If a client that you worked for free comes back to you requesting another free session, point out the undiscounted rate that you wrote on your first agreement for the job. And then tell them that you're now confident that your work is professional and that you're now charging for your services. If they don't come up with the cash, walk away from the negotiation. Of course, just because you've decided that this will be practice for you, you shouldn't allow yourself to take the pressure off. Your client has thought enough of you or your work to ask you to do the shoot in the first place. You should show them that you're able to do that professionally and don't let them down. All of the best practices that we would usually follow should be followed. Have a pre-shoot session with the client to fully understand the requirements. Create a checklist of shots that they require. Add in any ideas that you pre-visualize yourself, assuming that the schedule is going to have the flexibility for a little extra shooting. Make sure that all of your gear is in good working order. Have a backup camera body if possible. And make sure that your camera sensors are clean. Make sure that you have enough enough free memory, a number of cards, maybe a few spares to shoot at least double what you would imagine you're going to shoot, and get all of your batteries charged and your lenses cleaned, and, you know, basically just check any electronics, make sure your cable releases work if you're going to use them, or that strobes are firing as planned if you're using wireless lighting, and make sure that if you are using wireless lighting, make sure that all of the channels are set and you're ready to go. If you could not avoid getting some new gear for the shoot, use it as much as possible beforehand, making it almost second nature. The last thing that you want to do is to fumble around with your gear in front of your client. If something should go wrong, stay calm. If you start to panic, then the subject will become uncomfortable and this will show in the images. And if your client's overseeing the shoot directly, your panic or lack of confidence will look unprofessional. Things do go wrong, but how you handle the situation can make you look like a competent pro or a complete hack. If you have a way to make a backup of the images that you shoot in the field, either like a laptop computer or a portable storage, or maybe shooting to multiple cards, you know, some cameras allow you to put 2 cards in and shoot a backup. You know, both image the same to both to 2 separate cards. Do that. The sooner you get the backup, a backup of the images, the better. When shooting, capturing anything that can work is definitely an advantage, even if it's not on the shot list. If you impress your client by coming up with something cool that they didn't think of, you will come across as a true pro. And it will certainly go a long way to getting you a second assignment. I shot a bunch of images with a lot of foreground bokeh, one of my signature sort of ways of shooting. And this I'm recalling an image from last year now. The image is number 1885, and it's from an assignment that I did in 2008. And these images actually ended up being my client's favorite shots, and they were used in the book, despite the fact that they were not on the shot list. After the shoot, unless you have been requested to submit every image you shot to the client, you should do a strong edit. I don't mean that, you know, say if you've got 22 identical images that you shot just because you weren't confident that you'd nailed it. You know, the chances are that you nailed it with the first one or two frames, but you shot another 20 anyway. Not necessarily bad practice, but you know, you should basically give your clients the options, you know, to select as many images as, or to select from as many images that they can. Definitely, though, narrow down the choice, remove any pretty much identical images, and what you'll need to do is then just narrow it down to a selection of images that work photographically, but they might not be your favorites. You know, in fact, I often find that clients like images that I don't even care for. So it really does pay to include images that work, even if they're not your personal favorites. But like I say, though, just avoid adding seemingly identical or very, very similar images. Mark the images that you shot on the client's request accordingly, and show anything that you shot off your own bat accordingly as well. Part of your job is to make the task of looking through the resulting images as easy on the client as possible. There's a lot more that we could talk about here, but the main point is that even if you end up shooting on an assignment, or you know, shooting an assignment or two at a reduced cost or even for free, you should do everything that you can to really nail the shoot for your client and for yourself. After all, the payment that you're receiving here is in the form of portfolio images and confidence. Don't waste the chance to capitalize on your time investment until you are able yourself to charge for a fair price and for your skills and for your time. And remember that if Joan McNally is concerned that his clients might not like the images that he submits from an assignment, then you don't have to feel bad about this, you know, the feeling of being apprehensive yourself. I was a little late turning on the voting for the last assignment this month, but it's now turned on, and voting will be, you know, you can vote until September the 14th. So do come along and take time to vote. Again, the quality is superb, so thanks to all of you that took the time to shoot for the August assignment and put yourself into a position to be able to possibly win one of the great prizes that our sponsors WebSpy have allowed us to make available. Please don't forget to tweet thanks to WebSpy for sponsoring the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast on Twitter, to show WebSpy that we appreciate their support of the podcast. You can find me on Twitter, Flickr, Facebook, as well as my blog and the photography forum. All links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do swing by and check that out if you have time, and hopefully we can hook up by your favourite online service. Remember that the photography forum is still a great place for photographers to hang out, though. If you have time to get involved, do swing by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, but in the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye. The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.